Book of James, chapter 1, first 8 verses. I wish I could tell you this morning that this was an easy passage. I wish I could tell you that maybe we could skip it, but for some crazy reason, to end this time of year and to look into the fall, this is where I ended up. And so, again, and I always say not my plan, it is the Word of God, and it will teach us. James, a servant of God and of Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations, greetings. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him, to her. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea whom blown and tossed by the wind. The man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded person, unstable in all that he does. This is the Word of God. How do you obtain wisdom from God? How is it that you get smart when it comes to godly kind of things? What is it that helps you grow? I mean, I just gave the example of school to the kids. If you think about school, you think about kindergarten, learning your numbers, your ABCs, moving forward. Elementary school, about reading and mathematics. As you move on, you begin to hit those more difficult classes. You're in class. You're studying. You're matriculating through the system. Maybe you go on to college. Maybe you go to trade school. You learn by studying. You learn by watching and reading. You learn by doing. How do we gain the wisdom of God? How do we obtain the education of the Lord? Over the last year or so, I've gotten to know a new friend, shall I say. And this new friend happens to be a retired Coast Guard officer. And Len spent his whole career in the Coast Guard and spent most of it flying helicopters. Again, if you can imagine seeing those helicopters racing through the sky, out over Lake Michigan, out over the water, that's what he did. And when he talks about it, he says, you know, I can remember some of those first flights. So I can remember training. I can remember going up when it was sunny out. I can remember setting that course. I can remember staying on that course and getting my job done, making the mission successful. I can remember the first time that it was that night flight, the first time where it was up to me to fly in the darkness, to go out over the water, to find this location. And again, while it was a little concerning, you had those instruments, you kind of could stay on course, and sure enough, you could do it. But he also said, I can remember the first time that I flew into a storm. Counterintuitive, flying this helicopter into a hurricane, much like Harvey. If you read in the news, you know that the Coast Guard had to rescue 18 people off of boats and barges that were caught in that storm. They took those people off of those vessels, and those vessels sank because someone was flying a helicopter through a storm. And he would say, you could not control it. It was continually a fight to stay on course. It was continually a struggle to make sure that you were staying in the air. It was challenging to keep the bird over the place where you had to, again, rescue people or do your job. It was 10 times, 100 times, infinitesimally more difficult. During the storm, as the wind blew, as the seas raged, it was a challenge. That's really what James is talking about in this passage as he writes to the 12 tribes. You see, for many of us, the idea of being a Christian, the idea of being a God-fearer, a God-seeker, it's pretty easy. I mean, coming here on a Sunday, it might, you know, bother your time. It might interrupt your sleep. It might slow down your golf game. But it's pretty easy. But what happens when the storm hits? What happens when it's difficult to stay on course? What happens when the flying isn't so easy? It's not so simple to soar and call yourself a God-fearer. What happens when you feel like you just might crash? You see, James is talking to the 12 tribes, but he's not talking to the 12 tribes of Israel who are safe and secure in Israel, who are in control, who are safe and secure. He's talking to a group of 12 tribes, the people of God, who have been scattered across the world. And as they've been scattered, they've also been tormented. They've been abused. They've been picked on. They've been kicked while they're down. It has not been easy going. People have identified these people as Jesus freaks. People have purposely discriminated against them. They've lost their job. Many have lost their homes. Many have lost their families, all in the name of Christ. They have been facing a storm, and they feel like they're going down. They're sitting there in their bird, flying through the storm, saying, Mayday, Mayday. And in the midst of this challenge, James has a radical idea. And it's this: consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Whenever you encounter a trial, consider it great joy. Come on, really? Really? When I read this, I'm sorry, but there's a lot of guilt for me. Because when I look at my life and when I look at facing challenges and this whole idea of, hey, have this radical idea and be joyful, I struggle. I mean, let's again take a real example in my mind. That real example would be about a year ago. A year ago when I finished preaching up here and went home, finalized the packing of our car, and headed north for vacation. And I said to Jenny, I need an iced tea to drive with. So we drove into McDonald's. And as I pulled into the drive-thru, suddenly I was like, wow. Ooh, I don't know if it's my back or I don't know what's going on, but oh, man. And I said, wow, I am hurting and I feel great. I'm joyful, Lord. Jenny, I am so happy. I got a pain. She said, well, maybe we need to go home and see what happens. Sure, let's do that. So we go home. It gets worse. I'm laying on the floor, and the whole time I'm laying on the floor, I'm laughing, going, this is so fun. I am so joyful. Right, Jen? That's what I was doing? Not. Finally, we decide, well, maybe we should go to the hospital. I go, yes, we're going to the hospital. That's awesome. I cannot be more excited. Went to the emergency room, sitting in the emergency room. Everybody's in line. Finally get to the point where I say, hey, Jen, tell them that I'm going to pass out or puke, all right? Or get me in. And I said, but I'm so happy about throwing up. I can't wait. I just can't wait. They take me in. They do the CAT scan. They tell me, hey, you got a kidney stone. They give me some drugs. You know, I am so happy. I finally, 3 weeks later, get into the urologist. The urologist says, oh, yeah, there it is right there. We're going to have to go get it. I said, yay, let's go get it. I am so joyful that you're going to do this procedure. Not going to give you the details, all right? And then they don't have to do it once, but they have to do it twice. Yes, I'm so happy. That's what this passage makes it sound like. Be joyful in all trials. Wow, I just love kidney stones in the best. And I don't live that way. And so, again, what does it really say? It's just, if you've got the wisdom, if you've got the wisdom, then you can endure the trials joyfully. Obtaining wisdom to endure the trials joyfully. So how do you obtain them? First of all, it starts with this. Our ability to see the need. Our ability to see the need. Do we need the wisdom of God? And really, this is so key. It starts right here. Because for many of us, we don't need anybody's wisdom. We're smart enough on our own. We have what it takes. We know what is right. I've got my own opinion, my own wisdom. So the question is, do you see the need for the perfect and complete wisdom of God? For the wisdom that lacks nothing. For the wisdom that leads to joy even amidst the trials. If you look in the Old Testament and you look at the Hebrew word for wisdom, it's associated with a skilled trade. Someone who has the wisdom to make furniture. Someone who has the wisdom to make bricks. Or it's associated with someone who has the wisdom or ability to make battle plans. Or someone who has the ability to speak and to teach. When you look in the Old Testament in this word wisdom, it's about action. Not just thought. James teaches us that we need to see the need. We need to see that need for wisdom that is active while we are going through trials. Or do we get stuck in our own wisdom? Well, you know, God says, I joked this morning, walked over to someone over there, and I said, honor your mother and father, that your days might be long upon the land that your Lord God gave you. That's wisdom. But you know what? That's old-fashioned. We really don't need that wisdom. And so we don't take action on that. Or we get caught up in, oh, well, you know, parents have been abusing kids for a long time, and they're not in control, and I have my rights, and we listen to the world's wisdom. I walk into a hospital, and I can't stand up. I feel like I want to throw up. I didn't listen to my wisdom. I listened to the doctor's wisdom. I needed the doctor's wisdom. And so it begins this journey towards joy in the midst of trials in obtaining the wisdom of God. Do you think you need it? Or do you have all the answers? Do you know how to do everything? Or are you willing to say, Lord, I need you and your insight in my life? It starts there, but it rests. It rests. Again, obtaining the wisdom to endure trials joyfully starts with the need. It rests on knowing God. What do I mean by knowing God? Well, it says clearly in Scripture that God wants to give us wisdom. It says clearly in Scripture that the Lord gives wisdom to those who ask. Do you understand that if you ask, God is going to enlighten your life? God not only wants to give, but reveals wisdom through His Spirit. Every day, God is walking and, again, existing around us. And the Holy Spirit is there. And whether it be in a sunset, or whether it be in a person's voice, or whether it be in a scripture reading, or whether it be in a video, or whether it be in a happening, I don't know. God is waiting to reveal His wisdom to us. Again, scripturally based. God wants to give us the wisdom. God reveals it to us through the Scripture. God, again, reveals it to those whose heart are His. And again, this is where it comes back to, do you think you need it? This is where it comes back to, where's your relationship with God? Because God wants to talk to the people who say, I can't do it on my own. I need you. And when that door is open, then God wants to fill that with, again, this wisdom. And finally, it says clearly that God gives this wisdom to all that ask, all that humble their heart. Not my power, but yours. Where are you at with realizing that God wants desperately to help you understand your life? That God wants to, on a regular basis, inspire you. That God wants to, on a regular basis, help you obtain the wisdom that can help you face the trials of life with joy. Because again, it starts with our ability to see the need. It rests on our ability of knowing this loving, connected God. And finally, it lives. This idea of obtaining this wisdom lives in asking God in faith. Asking. What is the first thing you do when you need to make a big decision in your life? Am I going to buy this home? don't know. Am I going to ask this girl out? Am I going to say yes to this guy who wants to spend time with me? What college should I go to? Is it time for me to retire? When these questions come up, what is the first thing you do? Think about it. Is the first thing that you have done in the past gone to a quiet place and said, Lord, I got this big decision to make, and I don't have the answer, and I don't completely understand, but I know you love me. What should I do? What should I do? You see, it lives in this idea of asking God. Yeah, sadly, another action verb. This whole idea of receiving wisdom, this whole idea of living in this joy is about us having an active relationship with a living God. That we would ask, that we would ask God, that we would ask, and this is another tough part, without doubt. Without doubt. We just don't do this easily. It doesn't matter if it's God or if it's our grocery butcher, or if it's our doctor or our boss or our coach or our teacher, we don't do this easily. We always seem to have a comeback. We always seem to have something to add to the equation. And what James says here is ask without doubting. Really, James? But again, you got to rewind. You got to understand that God has this perfect and complete knowledge and wants to share a glimpse of it with you. You have to remember that God wants to give wisdom, that loves you desperately, that wants to be that person who owns your heart. You got to remember that God is saying, just ask me and I'll enlighten you. But what I found is sometimes we don't like the answer. Because sometimes the answer is, guess what, Paul? You got a kidney stone. Sometimes the answer is, guess what? It's not going away. Sometimes it's, yep, we're going to go in, get it, not once, but twice. Sometimes it's, guess what? You have more in there, so get ready, because sometimes down the road, chances are going to happen again. Oh, great joy in that. Or do I truly trust that God, for some reason, has blessed me, shall we say, with this? And this might be a storm that I need to navigate through. But the only way that I'm going to navigate it is if I can understand the wisdom of God. And in that wisdom of God, find that joy. If we can't do it, then we're going to crash and we are going to burn. Because we can't face the storms alone. We can't stay in the sky flying around alone. We need the help of the Lord. So again, simply put, do you see the need? Are you okay by your own wisdom? Do you know God and His love for you? Have you asked lately and been willing to listen to the wisdom of God. Amen.